Shabbat Israel, Harim Shabbat Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
They are your heart, Israel. How many Israel?
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today, in observance of Hanukkah, we bring you Candles in the Jungle by Helen Kandel Heinemann.
A lot of you know that song, don't you? The Hanukkah song I know best. Whenever I heard it after I grew up, I used to remember Hanukkah in my parents' home, standing with my family around the menorah, the eight-branch candlestick, lighting a new candle each night. I'd remember how someone would retell the story of Judah Maccabeus, who won freedom for the Jews, how everyone would sing and eat and play games and have fun. But now when I hear that song, I think of a Hanukkah party not with my family, but with a bunch of boys in uniform. Not in my home, but in the jungles of Assam in 1944. I was stationed in India for most of the war, sergeant in public relations. But all of a sudden, in 1944, I'm made assistant to one of the Jewish chaplains. I can't describe my job exactly. I'd do anything from setting up transportation and crossing army red tape to actually helping with the services. Well, this Hanukkah I'm talking about, the chaplain had an idea.
Si, I'm going to need travel orders.
Travel orders? Who's going anywhere? Aren't we staying at the base for Hanukkah?
We were, but just this week I began to think about some of those isolated outposts in Assam. There must be a handful of Jewish boys in every one of those camps. They haven't much hope of celebrating Hanukkah unless we do something about it.
Oh, there's only two of us, Chaplain, and a whole string of little isolated camps.
When we're at home on Hanukkah, Sai, we add a new candle to the candelabra every night for eight nights. What I'm going to do is light each new candle in a different camp. Draw me up a list of eight posts we can reach in half-day hops.
Okay. What else?
Nothing else. I have a candelabra and the candles.
But, Chaplain...
That's all I need to give the boys a simple Hanukkah service.
So all of a sudden, I'm setting up a jungle tour. We're on our way to celebrate Hanukkah in the wilderness. We hit our first post 2 days before the festival began. And what a place. Right in the middle of nowhere. Some of the men had been stuck there for 17 months. When you've been 17 months in a place like that, you don't expect much. Not even from holidays and festivals. But the first night, quite a crowd came to talk to us. Maybe it's because Hanukkah is such a gay, happy festival and so important to the whole family. Or maybe it was just a good opportunity to talk about home. Because pretty soon that's all they were talking about. Home. Hanukkah at home.
Oh, and what a time we had. The whole family would get together at our house the first night and give presents.
Just the first night? Well, we had a new present every night for eight nights. First, we'd light the candles, then open the presents, and then sing and
sing. You talk about singing, Stone. My grandmother, well, she knew more songs for Hanukkah than you've ever even heard of.
Well, my grandfather was the guy. He's dead now, but I remember we'd go to his house, and every year he'd make us a different kind of dreidel.
Dreidel.
Yeah, you know, Stevens, the Hanukkah tops the kids play with.
Well, fellas, right now, you are looking at the champion dreidel spinner of South Chicago. Well, I bet if I was home right now...
Right now, we'd all be getting ready for the fun.
Yeah, just about now, this minute maybe. My mother's getting down the big brass candlestick and polishing it.
Yeah, the kids are making tops at Sunday school.
My pop's getting the piano tuned.
Right now, right this minute, all I think about are latkes.
Oh, Hanukkah pancakes.
And my sister Beth's brother. Pancakes. Hanukkah latkes.
Oh, how'd I forget them?
Hmm.
I can taste them now.
Crisp, golden, light, bubbly pancakes. Good chow, huh?
But with sugar on top.
No, not with sugar. Sour cream.
Sour cream? Who would ever want sour cream? Hey, wait a second. Stevens, where do you come in on this? You're not Jewish.
Well, maybe I'm not, but I grew up next door to a Jewish family, and every year they gave us a pancake feast. I bet I'm the best pancake appreciator in the whole room.
Yeah. Oh, that crunchy part on the outside and that soft, wonderful middle.
Oh. Hey, fellas. Remember the pancake song?
Temach, temach, min hot dog. Shemen, shemen, min hatag, Hanukkah yom, chagnayim nachmod. La, 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 la.
Chaplain, a miracle happened on Hanukkah, didn't it?
Yes. After the Maccabean victory, the Jews found they had only enough oil to keep the eternal light burning in the temple for one day. But a miracle happened, and the light burned for 8 days. Until new oil could be found. That's why we light the candles for 8 days.
Oh, sure, I remember. Then, how about working a miracle for us right here? How about getting us pancakes for Hanukkah?
All right, boys, all right. If you really want it, I'll see if a miracle can be arranged.
Well, that started the whole thing. By the time I hit the sack that night, the whole post had latkes fever. The Jewish boys caught it first, and they passed it on to the others. They all had 17 months of boredom in that jungle. Same faces, same talk, same chow. And then suddenly, they all felt the Hanukkah pancakes would make their lives bearable. I told the chaplain the spot we were in the next morning.
But I still don't see why you're worried.
Chaplain, you don't know mess sergeants. Some of them are good guys, and they'll break their necks fixing holiday chow, turkey and trimmings. You ask them to make something they never even seen or never heard of.
It's not impossible, Cy. This pancake fever is so understandable. It's given these boys something to think about and look forward to. A change, a break.
But what I'm saying, Chaplain, is we probably can't do it for them. So let's get out of this thing before it builds up much more. Give them the service you planned. You can have a perfectly fine Hanukkah without pancakes.
Of course you can. But you know yourself, Cy, how many customs have grown up around our festivals. How much there is that's gay and fun for grown-ups as well as children. For every serious and solemn part, there's a chance for gaiety and fun. My children know the serious part of Hanukkah, but they also know that it's time for fun, that they can sing and play games, and that lots of good food will be cooking in the kitchen.
Pancakes, I know.
Yes, pancakes. You know, Si, there's wisdom in a tradition that recognizes how people are made, that they need this balancing of the serious and the gay. We drink wine on Friday night and sing on Saturday night. That's the balance for a quiet, contemplative Sabbath. Listen, Cy, if having Hanukkah pancakes is going to break the monotony of a jungle post in Assam, even for a few hours, there'll be pancakes.
So the next thing to do was to break the news to the mess sergeant. He came over to see the chaplain. Some of the boys who had become sort of an official pancake committee asked to come, too.
I came along, too, Chaplain. Is it okay?
Well, sure, Stephen.
I figured since I was the best latke authority
oh,
around...
Oh, get him, will you? The latke authority.
Yeah, listen, Stephen. What you don't know about pancakes...
All right now, boys.
I've asked the mess sergeant about this, and he's perfectly willing to make the pancakes. Aren't you, Sergeant?
Sure, I'll make them, Chaplain.
Hear that, fellas? We got pancakes coming up. Wait till I tell all the
others.
Just other
don't do any telling yet, Corporal. I said I'd make these pancakes if someone tells me how.
Oh. Well, Chaplain, how would you say?
I don't know exactly, unless my mother always made them at home.
Oh.
Well, all you do is take potatoes.
Not potatoes. Flour.
Flour. Whoever heard of flour? You take potatoes. Raw potatoes and grate them.
Raw potatoes? You're crazy, Lester. Look, Sarge, all you do is take mashed potatoes.
All right, Stevens, will you keep out of
it? I can see it now, I tell you. Mrs. Canner took mashed potatoes.
Okay. I got my raw potatoes and I got my mashed potatoes and my flour. Now what do I do? Now listen to me, Sarge. You got your raw grated potatoes.
Grated potatoes.
Yeah, then you throw in some chopped up onions.
Onions? You're ruining it.
Sarge, look, I'll give it to you straight.
And I'm giving it to you straight. I'll make anything the chaplain here wants out of potatoes or out of flour. But until someone tells me how, you'll all eat French fried, mashed, and bread.
You'd have thought we had a major setback at the front, or that all leaves were canceled. The news that pancakes were not coming up spread in no time. Talk about morale. It was low. Real low. But by midday, the tide turned again.
We're saved, Chaplain.
What's happened?
Well, with Chaplain, look, this is Corporal Peterson here. He's the radio operator. Well, go ahead. You tell him, Peterson.
Well, sir, it's like this. There's a new unit just moved up. They're stationed down the river about 35 miles. Well, I was sending some messages for the captain this morning, and before I signed off, I told the radio operator about our pancake situation here.
Yeah, you sure thought Peterson was nuts at first.
Boy, I'll say. Then I sort of explained, and he got real helpful. He tells me they got a mess sergeant with their unit, a swell guy.
Yeah, his name's Forrest.
Yeah, and he used to be a chef at a big Jewish restaurant in Chicago. Yeah,
and he's breaking his neck right this minute to get over here and make us pancakes.
Sergeant Borisov, you're an answer to our prayers.
And you are to mine, Chaplain. 2.5 years in the Army, and what's the routine? Meat, potatoes, and vegetables. Meat, potatoes, and vegetables. Month in, month out. What'll I do when I get out of here? I keep asking myself. I, Borisov, will have lost my art. My technique? Latkes, blintzes, krepler, knishes. I've forgotten what they are. And then you come along and give me the chance.
Latkes, Sergeant. Just pancakes. Now, you just talk it over with our mess sergeant. Tell him what you'll need, and he'll give you all the help he can.
Thanks, Chaplain. But I won't need much. All you do is take your raw potatoes, you grate them.
Okay, Stevens, you heard the man. Raw potatoes.
Grate in onions, a little salt, pepper, and then a few little secrets of my own, of course. Finally, a little flour, raw eggs, and...
Raw eggs?
Of course. Raw whole eggs, unbeaten
eggs. Raw eggs? Is he kidding? You couldn't use powdered eggs?
I couldn't consider it. The raw whole egg is one of the secrets of a good pancake.
Ah, you're new out here, ain't you? Last time I saw an egg was 8 months ago in Calcutta. It was real pretty.
Yeah, we know what eggs look like, Sarge.
Yeah, but we've forgotten what they taste like.
Just a minute, boys. You couldn't possibly make your pancakes without eggs, Sergeant?
Don't ask me, Chaplain. Don't ask me. Meat, potatoes, and vegetables, I can force myself to make them every day. But latkes without eggs? No.
Well, there we were again. Back where we started. Even the men knew they were licked. Somehow or other, they could expect the impossible. But eggs were something out of the question. I did my best. I really did. Because by this time, I'd caught the fever, too. And if there was a way to get eggs into that jungle, I was going to do it. Peterson, how far away is the biggest post in the area?
Oh, about 150 miles south, Sarge.
Well, radio them. See if they have an egg we could borrow.
Sorry, Sarge. They haven't seen an egg in 6 months.
Lester, is there a routine flight from one of the cities expected in today or tomorrow?
I don't know, Sarge. Why?
Maybe we could radio them before they take off. Get them to bring a crate of eggs along. Find out, will you?
Sorry, Sarge. No flights expected in before Tuesday.
Stevens, what do you suppose would happen if we requested permission to fly a special plane down to Calcutta to bring back some eggs?
I have a pretty good idea, Sarge, but I'll check for sure. I checked to see what would happen, Sarge.
Well?
Permission would be denied.
Well, that really did it. By this time, the pancake problem had worried itself right up to the top. And pretty soon, the chaplain was up at headquarters explaining things to the major.
I'll admit that things have got a bit out of hand, Major.
Out of hand? I heard about this pancake idea the other night when it first started, and I thought it was fine. But when it comes to asking for special planes, extra flights, well, it's just impossible.
I know, Major, and I think the boys do, too, by now.
Chaplain, why are these pancakes so important to your festival? I've been wondering all along, and then this morning I even looked up your Hanukkah service in Lester's prayer book. Can't find a mention of pancakes.
You won't find them in the service, me. You won't find them in the service, me. You won't find them in the service, me. You won't find them...
Be surprised, Divels, I know something about.
Well, I think I know why, too. Because of Judah Maccabeus.
Yes, yes. He appealed to me when I was young because he was such a great soldier. But this morning, when I looked in your prayer book, I didn't find him mentioned either.
It seems strange, doesn't it?
This festival does celebrate a great soldier, Judah, and a great military victory, which won the most important thing for the Jews, the right to worship God in their own way. But in our service, you'll find no mention of the soldier or the victory.
But why? You admit they're important.
Well, according to our faith, no individual is important enough to be set on too high a pedestal. After all, the individual is only carrying out the will and the work of God. The individual is only a tool.
Well, if the individual isn't important, how about the victory itself? Why isn't that mentioned?
Because a military victory is not all important. Both sides pay a tremendous price. We can see this right now in 1944, with this war we're fighting. The important thing is how that victory is used, what it brings after it. Whether the price paid for a victory is repaid by a good peace.
Yes.
Now, in the case of Hanukkah, the military victory of the Maccabees was not the great thing. The most important feature of that victory is that the Jews won back their freedom to lead their own life.
But it does seem that your services pass over some of the very important parts of the festival.
Put it this way, Major. There are many parts to every religious festival. There are the deepest, most spiritual meanings. These you'll find in our prayers and services. Then there's the history, the stories of the events that took place and the men and women who took part in them. These are written up elsewhere and told and retold every year. Finally, there are the trimmings.
Trimmings?
The way we celebrate our festival, the way we enjoy them and pass on our enjoyment from generation to generation, the songs we sing, the games we play, the food we eat.
Which leads us back again to the pancakes, doesn't it?
I'm afraid it does. It's a very unfortunate...
Oh, excuse me, Chaplain. Come in!
Sergeant Wall requests permission to speak to Chaplain Millman, sir.
At ease, Sergeant. Go ahead.
What is it, Sergeant? Things are picking up, Chaplain. Peterson just had a message from Mess Sergeant Borisov. He says that on his way back to his unit, they passed a native Naga village, and all the men in the jeep swear they saw chickens there.
Chickens?
And we feel that there's a possibility that if they're chickens, there might also be...
Eggs!
Well, it's worth investigating. Isn't it, sir?
I think it is. All right, Sergeant. Permission granted before you ask for it. Take my jeep and a native interpreter and go and investigate those eggs.
That was the roughest jeep ride ever. Most of the time, you couldn't see the road. And when you could, it wasn't much better. If anyone had told me I'd spend any part of that war on an egg hunt in the jungle, I'd have said he was nuts. But the boys in the jeep acted like the whole thing was a picnic. Al gave us every Hanukkah song he could remember. Even some he'd forgotten.
Around and around, oh, steam past bush and pit and mound, past the vineyard, brook and rill, past the valley and the hill, on to Kishon, my dear, where you meet a pioneer. Greet him, bring him cheer, miracles at...
Hold it, Al. You guys hear anything?
Uh-uh. Not anymore. Al's deafened me.
Listen. Oh, so help me it is. It's a chicken. Let's go.
Come on.
Oh, ho. See, there's a village ahead through the clearing. Come on, step on it, Stevens. One chicken's not enough for me. I want the whole barnyard.
Here's your barnyard, Sarge. Al's been giving us a concert for 2 hours, but now we're hearing real music.
Stevens handled the jeep back to camp like he was carrying a load of dynamite, not eggs. After all, he said, it was the most precious cargo he'd hauled in the war. And by the time we'd been back in camp an hour, the whole place knew that Operation Egg Basket had been successful. Borisov arrived the next day loaded with smiles and new pots and pans that he'd borrowed from his unit for the great occasion. When he got to the kitchen, he found a crowd of men waiting for him.
Okay, boys, break it up. Come on, scatter, get lost. It's no use hanging around my kitchen. Hey, Stevens, huh? No one's getting a taste of pancakes till Hanukkah begins the next
night. Okay, fellas, let them have it.
Corporal Letzel reporting, Sergeant.
A Private McDonald will report in 5 minutes, Sergeant.
Sergeant Finale reporting.
Reporting? For what? What's going on?
Reporting to peel potatoes. We're volunteers for KP. We ordered this miracle, see? And we're here now to see it served on time.
Thank you.
have a little dreidel. I made it out of clay. And when it's dry and ready, then dreidel I shall play. Oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. Oh, dreidel, 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 now dreidel I shall play.
How we doing, Sarge?
Fine, boys. Just another 5 bushels to go.
I'd posted a notice that the Hanukkah service would begin at 17 hours that evening in the recreation hall, and that the pancake feast would follow. I just said everyone welcome, but I wasn't surprised to see most of the posts lined up and waiting when I opened the doors of the hall at 17 hours. I hadn't done anything fancy in the hall. I just set up a little platform at one end. As the men filed in, they could see the chaplain waiting for them, and the candelabra with its first Hanukkah candle standing beside him. The chaplain didn't give him any kind of a long talk either.
I know there's been a lot of talk on the post about Hanukkah, but I do have the impression that some of you have come to think that the translation of Hanukkah is pancakes. Well, pancakes are part of Hanukkah and a very important part to us here in this room. But another significance of Hanukkah is equally important to every one of us here. This festival celebrates a fight against tyranny. It celebrates a time when the Jewish people won freedom to worship God in their own way, to reconsecrate their own temple, and to live their lives according to their own beliefs. We are celebrating Hanukkah here in the jungle in 1944 because we are taking part in a similar fight for freedom of thought and life. Yesterday I told one of you that the Jewish faith does not emphasize a military victory. We commemorate instead the good that can come from it. So at this Hanukkah season, in a time of war, we might try to look beyond the victory we're fighting for and begin to think of how we can best make use of the peace we hope to win.
That was all. The room was very quiet when the chaplain began the first blessing.
Baruch Ator Adonai.
Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us by thy commandments and commanded us to kindle the light of Hanukkah. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who wroughtest miracles for our fathers in days of old at this season. I remember how still the room was as the first candle was lit. As it flickered up, another Hanukkah festival began. Hanukkah in a jungle outpost in the year 1944. Then the chaplain sang the famous Hanukkah song, Rock of Ages. I remember how his voice rang out alone at first in the hall. But then other voices joined him. And the sound of the last verse must have carried far out of the hall. Way off in the jungle.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Louis Sachs of Congregation Beth Hamidrash Hagadol of Denver, Colorado. Rabbi Sachs.
Hanukkah, the Feast of the Lights, Israel's youngest festival, is the radiant embodiment of the prophetic truth that not by strength and not by might, but by the Spirit of God doth man prevail. It was 2,100 years ago, in the tiny hamlet of Modin, that an old, unknown priest of lowly origin, by the name of Marticio, struck the first blow for religious liberty. His clarion call, Mila de Shemelai, he who is for the Lord, let him follow me, has reverberated through the corridors of time and of history. His magnificent defiance of the ruthless brutality of Syria was inspired by his deep conviction that passive resistance to evil would not bring about the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. The Maccabean victory has been the catalytic agent which has galvanized devotees of religious liberty through the ages. Without religious liberty, the living are dead. Leaving behind the heritage of religious liberty, the dead live. May the world eschew death and darkness. May we choose life and light.
Thank you, Rabbi Sacks. Eternal Light Drama Today, Candles in the Jungle, was written by Helen Candel Hyman and was presented in observance of the Festival of Hanukkah. This program was based upon a story in the Hanukkah Bulletin, published by the National Jewish Welfare Board. The music was composed by Morris Mamorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor David Putterman was the soloist. Featured in the cast were Joseph Julian as Cy and Roger DeCoven as the chaplain. The production was under the direction of Edward King. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.